वासुदेवाय ओम नमो भगवते वासुदेवाय ओम नमो भगवते वासुदेवाय Hare Krishna. So we are reading Srimad Bhagavatam, Canto 12, Chapter 4, Text Number 32. 31? That's right. Sorry. 31. Yata hiranyam bahuda samiyate nribir kriyabir vyavahara vartmasu evam vachobir bhagavan adokshacho Vyakhyayate laukika vidakirtyanai Yata hiranyam bahudha samiyate Nribhi kriyabir vyavahara vartmasu Evam vachubir bhagavan adokshajo Vyakhyayate laukika vidakirjanai
Nirya Nirya Harvatmasu
Evam Vacho
Translation and purport by disciples of His Divine Grace Srila Prabhupada. Yatam, just as Hiranyam, gold, Bahudam, in many forms, Samiyate, appears, Nribi, to mean, Kriyabim, in terms of different functions. Vyavahara Vartmasu, in ordinary usage. Evam, similarly. Vachobim, in varying terms. Bhagavan, the personality of Godhead. Adakshajam, the transcendental Lord who is inconceivable to material senses. Vyakhyayate is described. Laukikam, mundane. Vaidikaim, and Vedic. Janaim, by man. Translation. According to their different purposes, men utilize gold in various ways, and gold is therefore perceived in various forms. In the same way, the Supreme Personality of Godhead, who is inaccessible to material senses, is described in various terms, both ordinary and Vedic, by different types of men. Purport. All those who are not pure devotees of the Supreme Lord are basically trying to exploit the Lord and His energies. According to their strategy of exploitation, they conceive of and describe the Absolute Truth in various ways. In Bhagavad Gita and Srimad Bhagavatam, the Absolute Truth presents Himself and He actually is, as He actually is, for the benefit of sincere people who do not foolishly try to conceptually manipulate the Supreme Godhead. Yata hiranyam bahudasamiyate nribir kriyabir vyavaharavatmasu Evam vachubir bhagavan adokshajo vyakhyayate laukika vaidikarjanam. According to their different purposes, men utilize gold in various ways, and gold is therefore perceived in various forms. In the same way, the Supreme Personality of Godhead, who is inaccessible to material senses, is described in various terms, both ordinary and Vedic, by different types of men. Om Agyana Timirandasya Gananjana Chalakaya Chakshurun Militam Yena Tasmai Shri Gurave Namaha Vancha Kalpataruvyascha Kripa Siddhambaye Vacha Patitana Pavanebhyo Vaishnavebhyo Namo Namaha Jai Shri Krishna Chaitanya Prabhu Nityananda Sri Advaita Gadadhar Shivasri Gaura Bhakta Vrindam Hare Krishna 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 Hare 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 Ram, Hare Ram, Ram Ram, Hare Hare. I beg for the blessings of all exalted Vaishnavas present in this assembly so that I may speak something useful and to be able to properly glorify Srimad Bhagavatam. So we are continuing discussion in this chapter where basically, Shukadeva Goswami describes the four categories of annihilation. And as we heard in the previous verses, what exactly they are? They are constant, occasional, material, and final. So it's explained that at every moment, basically, our bodies, they change. At every moment, our body is basically invisibly transforming. So you may want to, you know, sometime look the pictures from your parents and you see, you know, a little boy, you know, with only a few teeth. And you say, Mom, who's this? And she says, oh, son, it's you, you know. 7 years ago, and you think, no way, this is not me. But the truth is, yeah, we actually change, and sometimes it's even hard to believe, you know, when you look pictures of, you know, younger version of yourself. So every living being, it's explained from, you know, whether it's a human being, demigod, even Lord Brahma, is continuously going through those changes. And that is basically constant annihilation in its own way. Then we have the occasional, which is when Lord Brahma goes to sleep. And it's explained that all three planetary systems, they get destroyed. And just imagine, you wake up and it's all gone. So, as we heard in the previous verses, Lord Brahma's day is very, very long. It's described 1,000 cycles of four yugas constitutes 1 day of Brahma. So, you may think, oh my gosh, the school is so long. But just imagine if you are Lord Brahma and you have to go to school for such a long time. But fortunately, he doesn't have to go to school. He receives the knowledge from Supreme through tapasya. Basically, the knowledge gets revealed to him. So that is basically occasional annihilation when Lord Brahma goes to sleep, and it's called naimitika. And then we have another one. Which basically takes place at the end of Lord Brahma's life, which is called Prakritika. And at that point, we heard basically, first of all, there is no rain for a long time. The sun is beating for hundreds of years. The wind is blasting. And basically, everything is burning. And then all of a sudden, the rain starts, huge downpour, and it goes for another 100 years and fills the whole, you know, universe, basically gets flooded. So that is described as the material annihilation at the end of Lord Brahma's life. And then in the coming verses, which will be coming in the next few days, it's also described when a person achieves knowledge of the Absolute, an illusory false ego that binds the soul has been cut off with the sword of discrimination, of discriminating knowledge. He understands factual reality, and that is called the final annihilation, which is total liberation from the material existence. So I like how in the beginning of this chapter, in the introduction, it's described that the only boat suitable for crossing the ocean material existence, therefore, is constant hearing of the pastimes of the Lord. As we know from Bhagavad Gita, Janma Karma Chame Divyam. So Lord Krishna is performing divine activities, and by us hearing, we are actually getting purified. And therefore, that is the only safe boat that can take us across this ocean of material existence. One time, there was a simple boatman, and his job is just, you know, to take people from one side of the river to the other. And one day, one late afternoon, one gentleman came, and he was very, very learned. He was a scientist. And so he requested to be taken over to the other side. And as he was kind of, you know, boarding on, putting his luggage on the boat, he kind of wanted to display his high learning and, you know, his high intelligence. And he asked boatman, "Do you know the distance between sun and moon?" And the boatman says, "No, sir, I'm just a simple man. I really don't know." And he said, 20% of your life is wasted." And the boatman, he just, "Yes, sir." He just humbly continued to, you know, row the boat. And as they were going a little bit further, the scientist said, "Do you know how the clouds form by the power of sun? And, you know, they generate these huge clouds." It was kind of getting dark and cloudy. And the boatman said, "Yeah, I can see it's getting stormy, but I really don't know the science behind it. I'm just a simple village man." And the scientist said, "Another 20% of your life is wasted." And as they were crossing the river, all of a sudden the wind was getting stronger and, you know, picking the speed. And the scientist said, "Do you know how to calculate the speed of the wind?" And the poor boatman said, "Sir, I really don't know, but you better hold tight to the boat. I see the, you know, big storm is coming." And the scientist says, your life is useless. Another 20% is wasted." And as they were going like that, the boat was shaking and, you know, the waves were getting bigger and bigger. And this scientist, he was like, you know, proud and totally absorbed in his like scientific thoughts. And all of a sudden he fell in the water. And he said, "Help, help." You know, he was like drowning. And the boatman said, "Do you know how to swim?" And the scientist says, no. And the boatman says, "Then 100% of your life is wasted." So that story kind of illustrates, not that we should not, you know, be aware of and, you know, not learn, you know, don't think now I don't have to study for my biology test. No, we have to learn all these things. But the essence of all knowledge is Krishna consciousness. And with that, basically, everything comes in place. But without that essential knowledge that is capable of delivering us from this suffering in this material existence, everything else is really useless. It's not helpful in the long run. So, in this verse that we are discussing today, basically, the Lord is addressed as a Dakshaja. Does anybody know what that means? Of kids? So, a Dakshaja means basically the Lord who is not perceivable by our material senses. And we find that Srila Prabhupada mentioned that particular name quite often in scriptures. It's also quoted in several verses, as we find in the first canto, Savai Pumsam Paro Dharmo Yatto Bhaktir Adakshaje Ahaitu Kriya Pritihata Yatma Supersedati. So Srila Prabhupada is basically, one time he was lecturing on that verse in 1973 in Delhi. And he explained basically how every living entity is looking for that pleasure. But in material world, there is no permanent happiness. And then he explained how our... How our eternal business is basically to be servant. And that is the real dharma of the living entity. Just like salt, by, you know, its nature, it's salty. If you would, you know, take that quality of, you know, salt being salty, it wouldn't be any more salt. So by our nature, the living entity is continuously engaged in service. But we can choose. We can basically, we have our freedom to choose. We can serve either material energy or we can serve the Supreme Personality of Godhead. So that is one of the verses that that particular name of Lord appears at Dakshaja. Then we find also in the third canto when the Lord is fighting great demon Hiranyaksha. It's described that the verse is in third canto, 19th chapter, and it says, "Tam mushtibir vinigna tam vaira sarair adokshaja karena karna muleha yatha tvastram marut patha." So it's described, the demon now began to strike the Lord with his hard fists, which were described, they were strong as the thunderbolt. But the Lord Adakshaja, so we find this name again, Lord Adakshaja, slapped him in the root of the ear, even as Indra, the Lord of Maruts, hit the demon Vritra. So that is another instance where the Lord is addressed as Adakshaja. And then we also find the same name is also in the 8th canto, where Kashyapa Muni is basically instructing his wife Aditi. As we know the story, after Bali Maharaj took over the heavenly planets, so Aditi, she was very much destroyed, you know. Basically, the demons took over the possessions of the demigods. And one day when Kashyapa Muni returned from a long meditation, he immediately realized something is not right in the ashram. So he inquired from his wife and he said, "My dear wife, in my absence have the religious principles of religiosity, economic development, and related saint gratification, have they been properly observed?" And she described, yeah, everything is fine. All the principles of religion have been properly absorbed. But we are suffering because the demons took our possessions, and my sons, they have been basically thrown out of their positions. So she wanted basically from him the means to rectify the situation. And then Kashyapa Muni goes on to describe to her Payuvrata process, and in which he basically says, this is the best process for pleasing the transcendental supreme personality of Godhead, known as Adokshaja. It is the best of all regulative principles, the best austerity, the best process of giving charity, and the best process of sacrifice. So like this, we find this particular way of Lord being addressed as Adokshaja in various places throughout the scriptures. So another interesting point when we think about annihilation, it's mentioned in one of the verses. Why did Maharaj Parikshit wait till the end, basically to speak about this? And the answer is basically he wanted to, you know, because Parikshit is just about to depart, and by explaining the process of annihilation, basically he wanted to invoke that greater detachment, because by hearing how the universe is going through these cycles of destruction, we can understand that our own, you know, departure from this world is very, very insignificant. It's very, very insignificant in the scope of bigger picture. So, another point in the verse that we are reading today, basically it said that the Lord is described by different people in different terms, just as the gold is perceived and used for different purposes. Therefore, similarly, the Lord is also described in different ways by different people. And one interesting comparison where we can see that very clearly, we also find in the 8th canto. So after Bali Maharaj was basically defeated by Lord Vamana, as we know, Garuda arrested him and tied him with the ropes. And, you know, Bali Maharaj was standing there totally defeated. And when the demons saw that, it's interesting how they describe the Lord. So they said, "This Vamanadev, he's a cheater. He dressed as a Brahmana, but he is actually Vishnu in disguise." And they wanted to attack, you know, Lord Vamanadev. And so that is one way of perceiving the Lord. Then on the other side, Bali Maharaj, who is, as we know, a pure devotee of the Lord, he totally, you know, has a completely different vision. So he told demons, "No, don't fight, you know, don't fight. Basically, now it's not our time, you know, by the grace of the Lord, you know, when the time was in our favor, we were able to conquer the demigods, but now the time is not in our favor, and therefore, you know, don't fight. You're not going to be able to win." So he explained it, you know, from totally different point, you know, being the leader and king of the demons, he basically described the Lord as the all-powerful time. Then, at the same time, Prahlada Maharaj comes, who is grandfather of Bali. And as we know, Prahlada is great, great Vaishnava. So when he saw Lord Vamanadev, he fell down and offered his obeisance. And the way he addressed the Lord is again totally different. He said actually, "My dear Lord, previously when you favored this foolish Bali Maharaj and, you know, gave him strength to win the, you know, heavenly planets, you acted appropriately. And now when you're punishing him, you acting again very, very appropriately." So he was glorifying the Lord in that way. So, in this way, basically, we can see, according to time and circumstances and understanding of different personalities, they will all describe the Lord in different ways. Now, when we think, about the residents of Vrindavan, they have totally different vision, and you know, compared to the other few examples that we just mentioned, because they are so much in love with Krishna that they don't even know that he's God. They totally forget that he is Supreme Personality of Godhead. We find very wonderful pastime in Krishna book, and also it's described in 10th canto. Basically, after Lord appeared in Vraj as the son of Mother Yashoda, Nanda Maharaj, he wanted to perform the celebration, and he invited all the villagers and all the brahmanas, and it was a big festival. So it's described that Vrindavan was so beautiful, and the residents of Raj, they were so opulent. Even though it is simple village, but just due to their farming activities and cow protection, it's described that actually they were very opulent. At that auspicious day when they were celebrating Lord's appearance, it's described that Nanda Maharaj, he gave in charity, I actually read in one place, 200,000 cows, but in Bhagavatam it says 2 million cows. So I'm not sure which one is right, but in any case, many cows he gave in charity to the brahmanas. And so it was big festival. All the gopis were dressed beautifully and decorated themselves, and they came and offered wonderful gifts to the Lord, and they blessed him, and they said, "May you become king of Vraj and protect all of us." So after the ceremony, it's described Nanda Maharaj, he actually had to go to pay the taxes to King Kamsa. And when he arrived to Mathura, Vasudev, he heard that Nanda is coming in town, and he was so much happy to see Nanda Maharaj. And basically, when they got together, we find Nanda Maharaj inquiring from Vasudev, and he's saying like this. He said, "Please tell me about the welfare of Vrindavan. You have many animals. Are they happy? Are they getting sufficient grass and water? Please also let me know whether the place where you are now living is undisturbed and peaceful." This inquiry was made by Vasudev because he was very anxious about Krishna's safety. So we can see, like, the attitude of pure devotee, like, he's thinking, Krishna is my son, I have to protect him. He is not thinking, Krishna is supreme, he can just, slap the demon and kill him, in a second. So that is the basically total contrast. We can see that residents of Raj, they are totally absorbed in pure love and devotion towards the Lord, that they even forget that he is God. And then after they had a brief discussion, Nanda Maharaj replied, "My dear Vasudev, I know that you are very much aggrieved because the cruel King Kamsa has killed all your sons born of Devaki. Although the last child was a daughter, Kamsa could not kill her, and she has entered the celestial planets. My dear friend, do not be aggrieved. We are all being controlled by our past unseen activities. Everyone is subjected to his past deeds. And one who is conversant with the philosophy of karma and its reactions is a man of in knowledge. Such a person will not be aggrieved by any incident, happy or miserable." And, Nanda Maharaj, he was trying to, give, philosophical explanation to Vasudev. But Vasudev, he was still, very much in anxiety for Krishna. he really didn't, you know, really much worry about, you know, his own condition. Rather, he was worried about safety of the Lord. And then Vasudeva replied, "My dear Nandan, if you have already paid the government taxes, then return soon to your place, because I think there may be some disturbances in Gokula." So like that, Vasudeva was urging Nanda, you know, "You should return as soon as possible," because he wanted to make sure Krishna is protected. So I'll stop here. If anybody would like to comment, question, any critics, please do so. If not, we will... Oh, yes. Trying to go in the pro.
I have one story. How important things should be focused as important. So in the morning, this devotee, I don't like to say his name, he's a very nice devotee to me too. So he told Prabhupada that devotees are only chanting and focusing on Krishna. They need to take care their body, how to live in a harmony with this Rasayan, that Rasayan, and he gave a whole bunch of names. When they get cold, they need to do this. Prabhupada, you need to teach them this too. Only just chanting will not be. So next day, evening, they have the program. So Prabhupada sitting in the back, and the driver, he's also American devotee. While he was going down, he lost the control of the brake. And he got really paranoid. He said, "Prabhupada, I don't know, I can't stop the car. It's like going very high speed and all these cars are coming. I don't know what to do." Say, ask him what Rasayan now he needs. Rasayan is a kind of a, like a medicinal things like he was. So, of course, that devotee said, "I don't know, Prabhupada." He said, "Therefore, you should chant and keep Krishna at the prime focus. Then do all other things."
Thank you, thank you.
And you know, after a few minutes, brake worked.
The brakes worked?
Yeah, after they started chanting.
I was wondering how I did that then. Thank you, Prabhu. Okay.
Can you name the three types of destruction in the Sanskrit
book, please? Yeah, sure.
What's the question?
The Sanskrit names for the three types of destructions. So basically, they are called Naimitika, which is occasional, Prakritika, which is the destruction at the end of life of Brahma, the destruction of the seven material elements, and then the final, which is called Atyantika, which is when we become self-realized, and when the false ego is totally gone. So basically that is our final liberation. So Naimitika, Prakritika, and Adyantika.
Constant?
Yeah.
Past is constant.
Okay, is there... Is
every
there
day, every moment is happening. Nittatika. Then comes Naimittika, the everyday of Brahma, evening time. And then comes the end of Brahma's life. And then each conditioned soul's liberation is the Atyantika. So Nittatika, then Naimittika, then Prakritika, then Atyantika.
Yeah, I couldn't find for some reason the Sanskrit word for the first one. And you said it's called what?
Nittatika. It's, I think, 37 or 38, somewhere.
Okay. So, yeah. A little bit technical, but definitely very important to know. Okay. Thank you so much. Karantara Srimad Bhagavatam Ki Jai Shri Prabhupada.